Good evening to you all. I'm hoping you might be able to hear me. If you maybe just give me a physical thumbs up if you can hear me. I think
Verbal
in
thumbs
the
up as well.
a verbal thumbs up. Yes, somebody, Patrick, has learned how to unmute himself. That's an alarming sign for the rest of the evening. There we go. But no, I think it's very good to see you all. Thank you all for setting aside the time. We're going to give, I think, about 5 minutes grace just to ensure those who want to join us can do so. And then we'll kick off. And I imagine for every single one of us, this is yet another unique experience in this bizarre and topsy-turvy year. I've certainly never done an annual meeting by Zoom before, but that's what we're doing this evening. So, being all muted, you can talk amongst yourselves for the next few minutes whilst we wait for others to join us.
Hello, Andy and Alwyn. It's the first time I've seen you for ages.
Hello
And I haven't. Not,
Hey, yes.
Is Alwyn there?
He's just coming in.
Yay!
My eyes are fixed upon my own 2 feet. It's only time before I've lost my way, and I'm leading myself onto the battlefield.
I will follow your voice wherever you lead. Jesus, you go before, overtake me. And if I'm running ahead, I know you'll come after me. Jesus, you go before, overtake me. I will follow your voice wherever you lead. Jesus, you go before, overtake me. And if I'm running ahead, I know you'll come after me. Jesus, you go before, overtake me. 'Cause you love me, Lord.
You love me, Lord.
More than my heart has ever known. So I'll let your love be stronger than my will to walk alone.
Okay, thank you to Mark P and Chris Brown, who are sharing the hosting. The fact that the music has stopped and I'm allowed to speak again hopefully means that the waiting room is temporarily empty, but Chris and Mark will continue to monitor that and let other people in. So welcome to this evening. And I just want to read a verse from Psalms and then just invite a moment of quiet for each of you to pray for this evening. From Psalm 26, verse 3. I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. So let's just, in the stillness of this time, bring to mind God's unfailing love. Let's acknowledge our need to live in reliance on his faithfulness. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love is unfailing. Thank you that we can rely on your faithfulness. Help love and faithfulness to be watchwords for us this evening as we meet together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I can hardly imagine there's anybody who is new to Zoom this evening. I'm sure we're all pretty zoomed up, zoomed out, but this evening we're zoomed in. But just let me say a few things by way of introduction, then I'll explain how the evening will work. I just thought I'd point out the song that Mark was playing. I think it's called Overtake Me. And it was written by Tom Buckler and Debs Davis. Tom is this year's worship intern. Debs Davis is one of our Trinity Ordinands. And that's actually one of a growing number of new songs that is coming out of the Christchurch Songwriting Collective. So do pray for them, headed up by Julia. But a number of really gifted people emerging to write new songs of praise and declaration about our God together. I just want to encourage your continued prayers for Val. She still doesn't have a clear diagnosis. For those who are not aware, sorry, I should have said Val Moore is in Southmead. She's awaiting biopsy test results. Still doesn't have a clear diagnosis, and she would very much value our prayers. And then I've lost him on screen, but many of you, he's actually on screen one for me. Many of you will know Brendan Biggs, Brenda and Tina. And I just want to say congratulations to Brendan on his recent election to General Synod. So he's going to be representing the Diocese of Bristol as a lay rep. Commiserations to another member of Christchurch who also stood, but Brendan was elected. So Brendan, well done on that, and look forward to working with you on General Synod shortly. So we're going to encourage everybody during the evening until you're called, if you have a question, when we get to that stage, to keep yourself muted. But if we can encourage you to keep your camera on. And the reason I say that, obviously, if you need to turn your camera off, because there's all sorts of child mayhem going on in the background or goodness knows whatever, that's fine. But it does help us all to feel connected if we can see one another. So as much as possible, let me encourage you to keep your cameras on. Mark Parsons and Chris Brown will be monitoring in the participants bar. You should be able to click that on. The 64 of us, it will tell us in this meeting this evening. And you will have the option there to raise hand. It's a little symbol of a blue hand. And you will be able to click that. It says raise hand if you want to ask a question when we get to that point. And again, Chris and Mark will be monitoring that. The meeting will be recorded, but the audio only. So don't worry, nobody will ever get a visual recording, which is good news for me and good news for some of us as well, no doubt. But we will be recording the audio, partly because it helps Tavy with the minutes. So if you do speak, your voice and what you say will be recorded. Because of the number of people on this Zoom meeting, you may find it helpful to use the speaker view. If you're using a laptop or desktop computer, in the very top right-hand corner above the images of the people on the call, you can click between gallery and speaker. And if you click on speaker, you will get the person who happens to be speaking at the time in large view. Apologies, that will mainly be me. Just to let you know that Tavy will be acting as our secretary. She's our PCC secretary, Tavy Price, and she'll be doing that. So I'm just going to hand over briefly to Mark Parsons, who's going to test our voting buttons, which we'll only be using briefly to express our support of minutes. But Mark, over to you for that.
Thanks, Paul. Good evening, everyone. Lovely to see you all. So if you can find where the participants list is on Zoom, and this will be slightly different depending on whether you're watching on a computer, desktop, laptop, or whether you're on a phone or tablet, there should be, at least I can see, a series of buttons that say yes, no, go faster, go slower. Might be useful when Paul comes to do his talk, but we're particularly interested in the yes, no buttons. What I'd love you to do is, once you've found the yes, no buttons, if you can just press the yes button. I've never done this before, so I'm intrigued to see what happens. Excellent. I can see that you are all, you're all finding those buttons. Those are the buttons that we'll use when we come to vote for things. So hopefully that all makes sense. Is there anybody who's got a problem trying to find, I can see one or two of you still haven't yet found it, but the majority of you have. So hopefully that's good enough for us to move on at this point. So
they may be desperate to press the no button, Mark, and they've not been told they can.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Mark, very much indeed. Finally, just to say that we've received a couple of apologies in advance, and as is our custom anyway at Christchurch, they will be recorded in the minutes of this meeting. Okay, so let me declare we have, for those who are unfamiliar with Church of England annual meetings, the meetings, there are actually two meetings that take place on the same evening. The first one tends to be much briefer than the second, and it is the annual meeting of parishioners. So I declare that meeting open. And just let me explain that anybody resident in the parish of Christchurch Clifton with Emmanuel. And additionally, anybody who is on the electoral roll of the said parish is able to vote. Don't get your hopes up. I don't think there's going to be a vote of any excitement this evening. And so as well as sending all our church family members the details of this Zoom code, we have posted the due notice required by the Church of England to the church door so that anybody living in the parish who wished to become aware of the fact would be aware that we are meeting this evening. So firstly, we take the minutes of the meeting on the 29th of April 2019. They've been previously circulated via email. They're also available at our web address, which is our standard church web address /AGM. We asked for any amendments or matters arising to arrive by 10 a.m. yesterday. None have appeared. And so I'm going to give you the pleasure of exercising your first vote of the evening. If you are willing to vote to receive the minutes of last year's annual church meeting, please will you click on your yes button. Okay, we can clearly see that we've got a majority for that vote. One person exercising a very sensible no vote on the basis that she wasn't present last year. So that's entirely acceptable and welcome. Secondly, which is the main purpose of the annual meeting of parishioners, is the election of church wardens. Unlike PCC nominations, which can happen during the meeting, election of church wardens has to be notified to the meeting in advance. So as the meeting has now begun and we have two nominations for church wardens, who are Graham Stewart and Catherine Simmons, who are our serving wardens at the moment. Graham was proposed by Paddy Sykes and seconded by Simon Highgate. Catherine proposed by Caroline Buckland and seconded by Neil Buckland. Given that these are the only two nominations that we've received for the office of church warden this year, as chair of the meeting, I declare that they are elected. And maybe if you know how to do the reactions I'm going to show you, you can do a clap, you can do a thumbs up, you can do a face of surprise if that catches you out, or you can buy them a virtual little exploding ice cream cone. So make merry with your reactions as we say thank you to Graham and Catherine for being willing to stand once again for all that they do within the life and leadership of this church family. Particular thanks to Graham, who's tuning in from what he tells me is a dodgy internet connection up in Scotland, where he is at the moment. So I now declare the annual meeting of parishioners closed and declare the annual parochial church meeting well and truly open. As has become our custom over recent years and in accordance with Church of England guidelines, we conduct quite a bit of the historical business of this meeting prior to the meeting. So, for example, we appoint our secretary, Tavy Price, so that she is good to go. We notify you by email in writing on the notice and on the website of the changes to the electoral roll. We also notify you of the appointment of Burton Sweet as the independent examiner. So all those things have already been concluded without objection or comment. So again, we move forward to the minutes of the 2019 meeting, which again were held on the 29th of April, 2019. Exactly as for the previous meeting, the minutes were circulated in the appropriate ways. No note of amendments or matters arising had been received by the due time. And therefore, again, I invite you to Have fun with your little green yes button. And again, we've got a clear consensus that those minutes are accepted from last year. We come now to the election of PCC members and Deanery Synod members. PCC members are elected to serve for a term of 3 years, after which they may stand again for a further term of 3 years, at the end of which they have to stand down for at least 1 year. And this year, actually, we did say, Mark mentioned, Mark Parsons, that of all the years, this would have been the easiest to actually have a contested election because of the ease of showing yes and no on the screens. But I'm afraid that joy is going to be denied us in that we have four vacancies for election to PCC and we have four candidates standing. And I will give you their names in alphabetical order. So we have Rachel Ambler, proposed by Catherine Simmons and seconded by Caroline Buckland. Hannah Gibney, proposed by Julia Lovelace and seconded by Sophie Brown. And if you do look at PCC minutes, you may note that those names have already been present. That's because both Rachel and Hannah were co-opted by the PCC during the course of the past year. And the custom is for those who've been co-opted during the course of a year between annual meetings are then invited to stand for full election. So that in effect, the PCC has co-opted them, but it's not appropriate for people simply to remain on forever and a day because they've been co-opted. So we ask people to stand so that the whole church family can duly elect them. Then two new names, Susanna King, proposed by Amy Silcock and seconded by Jen Ellis, and Dave Vernon, proposed by Graham Stewart and seconded by Richard Hill. And again, because there are four candidates for four vacancies, as chair of the meeting, I simply declare that they have been elected. And again, if we can make merry with our reactions and welcome them as members of the Church Council. Congratulations to all four of you. Elections to Deanery Synod. The Church of England has four layers of church governance. The most local is the PCC, to which we've just elected new members. The next is Deanery Synod, and beyond that, Diocesan Synod and General Synod. If you are elected to any of those synods, you are automatically ex officio members of those below. So Brendan is now a member of Diocesan Synod, Deanery Synod, and PCC. Brendan chooses to serve his PCC service at All Saints Clifton, where he and Tina also worship. Every 3 years, the Deanery Synod membership is wiped and lay members stand for re-election. We have five places. That's quite a lot. That's simply because of the size of our church family and the electoral roll. And that's why we have five places, which I think is more or less the maximum that you can have. And this year, we have so far two people from our church family standing for election. Clough Noon, who's been proposed by Chris Saunders, seconded by Onnie Milne, and Sarah Wadsworth, proposed by Val Moore and seconded by Di Noon. It is possible for the PCC to elect, not co-opt, elect members to Deanery Synod after the annual meeting has closed. So we have been in conversation with one or two people who've come forward to say that they're thinking about it. And we will obviously let you know whether if we do fill any more of those places. One of the key responsibilities of Deanery Synod members is that they will, across the deaneries of the diocese, elect our lay representatives to General Synod in the autumn of 2021. Okay, so I declare that they, Clough and Sarah, are elected to Deanery Synod. Finally, and I'm aware this is a bit of a whirlwind, I want to just pay tribute and to thank those who have served on PCC and Deanery Synod for the past year and are now standing down. So can I just point out David Troughton, who has been on the PCC and is standing down this year. And then Errol King, Ryan Langdon and Val Moore are all stepping down from Deanery Synod. And again, can we express our thanks to them with the reactions buttons that you have? And so let me pause briefly as we pray for those who've been elected and for those who are moving on to serve God in different ways in his church. So let's remember before God Brendan as he prepares to take up his place on the Church of England's General Synod. For our freshly re-elected church wardens, Graham and Catherine. For those elected to our PCC, Rachel, Hannah, Susanna, and Dave. For those newly elected to Deanery Synod, Clough and Sarah. And let's remember in prayer and give thanks to God for the service of David Troughton, Errol King, Ryan Langdon, and Val Moore. I'm just going to leave a brief stillness so that you can add your own prayers to mine for those people. Father, we thank you that you call members of your church to serve you in different ways. We thank you for those who now offer their service, whether for a further year or for re-election. And we give you thanks for those who've served so faithfully over the past years. Bless each of them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So just before I hand over to Dave Newton for the finance report, I just want to encourage members of the church family to continue praying regularly for our PCC. The first meeting of the new PCC will be on Saturday, the 7th of November, and you might like to make a note of that in your diaries. We do try to ensure that PCC minutes go on the website. I know that isn't always a perfect system. Do let us know if you struggle to find minutes, but we want our deliberations to be as open and transparent as possible. So we've got three or four major things that we will do over the hour that is now left. We're going to have the finance report in a moment. Then we will hear news about the Renew project and we'll actually have a video walkthrough. We'll have the chance to ask questions, both of Dave Newton as treasurer and me as vicar. And then I will close with my address. So Dave Newton, who is combining his role of treasurer with his work as an air traffic controller, as you can see.
That's me.
So we praise God for his ability to multitask and hope all that all goes well this evening. Over to you, Dave.
I'm hoping Mark will enable me to share my screen, or somebody will anyway, because I'm unable to at the moment. Who is the host?
Try that now, Dave.
Ah, brilliant. Can you see that? There we go. Are we there?
Yes, it's good.
Is that there? Good, good, good. Right. It's just to say, it's wonderful to see everybody's faces. And I'm definitely going to be on speaker view so that I can't see just how riveted you are by this presentation. I'm going to keep it short. Normally at this event, I would be talking about the previous year. It would normally already be history. And this year, it feels like ancient history. The report itself, it's on the website. Last year, the general fund was in balance. Compared to this year, it seems like a walk in the park. So I thought rather than bore you with what happened last year, I'd bore you with what the finances are looking like this year for the general fund. I'm going to use a graphic that was invented by my predecessor, Patrick, where we take, rather than show the annual numbers, which are all huge, we translate them into cost, income and costs per week, so averaged over the year. And just a reminder, on the income side, the biggest items are your giving and the gift aid that we receive on that. We get some rent from properties like Linden Gate and the Associate Vicar's House. And there's some other things that come in mostly from events and activities in church. On the cost side, the biggest item is our parish share. It's the what we give to the diocese, both to fund our staff and also our clergy, and also to support the work of other churches in the diocese. There's our paid staff, and we do there's these other items which I'm not going to go into great detail on, mission giving. There's the operation of what we do in church and maintenance of the buildings and so on. Now, when we set the budget, we actually did budget for a small deficit. We were playing around with a number of things. We reduced our parish share somewhat and took a decision at the PCC to set it at a fixed percentage of what income we receive. Our plans were to include an appeal for giving to the general fund in the fundraising appeal that we were launching in the spring. So that's how we went into the year. We were starting with the need for an increase in giving. How have things panned out? I'm working on the basis of the costs to an income to the end of the third quarter. I'd say even the PCC haven't seen these numbers yet, though the messages I'm giving you, I think, are consistent with what I've been giving them as we've gone through the year. So how's it gone? So far, our income is slightly down. We've seen a slight reduction in giving. There's been a little less rent because preschool was closed from March onwards. And we've actually lost some income from other events and activities that would go on in church. So the income is slightly down. On the cost side, actually the costs are down as well. And there are things like staff costs are slightly down because there was less in the way of training and costs around the office. And other things are down simply because the activities that would have been happening in church have not been going on. The building side, there have been reductions in costs there on things like utilities, and we haven't been cleaning the place and so on. However, we did have some unexpected repair costs on replacing stone and lead, and there have been some quite significant repairs to the side chapel windows. If it hadn't been for those, actually the reduction in income and the reduction in costs would have been more or less in balance. But we have, as I say, had these unexpected building costs. And the upshot is that what we're looking at the moment looks like an increased deficit, £650 a week, or about £30,000 in the year. So it's quite a significant sum. I would add, having spoken to other treasurers in the diocese the other week, that a lot of churches around us are in a much more parlous state. I think we rely relatively little on things like cash collections and lettings income. And of course, those have been really badly hit. Nevertheless, there has been a reduction in income. Actually, looking at the giving, we've had, I think, 21 new people who've started giving. That's people or couples, and 23 people who've moved on and or stopped giving. So more or less in balance, that represents about 10% of the number of regular givers, which is the kind of churn I think we'd see in an average year. So not great, but actually it could have been a lot worse. So that's an update on how things are looking this year in the general fund. And I'm not going to talk about Renew. That will come later. Turning to 2021, I'll be getting together shortly with my wonderful finance team, Patrick, who are all on the call tonight, Patrick Bolster, David Daniels and Mark Parsons. We're going to be sitting down to prepare a budget for the PCC to look at. And what can I say? We're not expecting to return to normal anytime soon. And in general, looking at next year, I think maintaining our income is going to be a challenge. We've yet to see how the unwinding of furlough and the potential of a further lockdown, what that will mean to people in the congregation, or in our family, and what the impact of that will be. And we're clearly going to need to carefully manage costs. So this is where we are as go forward. In terms of closing remarks, the first version of this slide, for Outlook, I had some clip art of a crystal ball. And I was told that was unsuitable for, inappropriate for a church annual general meeting. So I've taken that out. They suggested a pair of binoculars, which I think is also totally inappropriate, because that kind of implies I've got the slightest idea what's going to be happening next year. And it is quite difficult. I think this was the best picture I came across, which kind of represents where I think we are. It's not a particularly unusual place for a Christian to be. And I think that we look to God to have his arms round everything that we're doing and to support us through this. We know we're not alone, and we know that he knows where we're heading. So that was a very quick romp through the church finances. Appreciate that was very quick and I wasn't able to go into very much detail. We may be picking up questions to answer later, and I'm very happy to answer any questions you want to send me by email anytime about all of these.
Thank you, Dave, very much indeed. So if we can come out of the screen share and return to the screen as it was before. We're actually going to invite any questions to Dave at this point. And again, it's you know, there are those wonderful people that every church needs who can ask incredibly detailed questions about the finances. If you're willing and you have one of those questions, can I invite you to send it to Dave and the finance team separately? Because otherwise we'll get bogged down. But if there are general big picture finance questions, we are going to ask you, if possible, to put them in the chat space. And Chris Brown is going to chair this part. So if there's anything that you would like to ask, that would be welcome. Chris, can you see that? And
yes. So a question from Hannah Gibney. Plans for looking at other innovative income streams in this time. So will you look at anything there?
I think the answer is yes. In fact, I was the call I was on with treasurers the other week was quite interesting with churches that are bringing events online, and it actually means that if you're going to you can have fundraising events, but you've got to operate them in a very different way. I think in terms of income from the church, we've started to look at that. And I guess I've got to say, for Renew fundraising, we've got to be innovative in order to achieve that. So I think it's at an early stage, and other members of the Renew team may be able to add on that. But it's a really great question. We can't rely on just doing things as we did before.
I think it's probably worth my adding, if I may, that those of you will remember we published a vision booklet a couple of years ago, and that lasted until 2020. So one of the things that the new PCC will be doing is just seeking God for fresh vision for the years that lie ahead, not least in response to the extraordinary situation in which we find ourselves.
Graham has mentioned on chat that there is a thing called Amazon Smile. If you approve of the activities of Amazon and you have an Amazon account, it is possible, and I've done this myself, you can nominate Christchurch as a charity, and for every purchase you make on Amazon, a percentage will be given to Christchurch. And so it's a sort of, it's for me, that's a real lazy person's way of giving to Christchurch. So I'd be very happy to send people details of that if they're interested.
And once a year, one lucky member will get a free one-way trip to Mars in the prize draw. Thank you for pointing that out, Graham. That looks as though we've come to the end of those questions for Dave. So can I, on everybody's behalf, not just those who are present this evening, but every...
Paul, we've just missed a question from Faye.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Asking what is the annual income and expenditure of the church?
I ought to have that at my fingers, and I never do. It's in the general fund... It's of the order of 600,000 income and 600,000 expenditure, of that order, if that's helpful. So the 30,000 deficit represents 5%. So it's a big chunk of money, but it's also it's not a big gap in terms of the size of the church. And it follows a couple of years where we balanced the general fund, and that's what we aim to do over time.
Thank you very much, Dave. So let me just ask Tavy to record formally our grateful thanks to Dave, our treasurer, and to the other members of the finance team, David Daniels, Patrick Bolster, and Mark Parsons. And one of the joys of Zoom, we have to point them out when they arrive, is that you can scan between the pages that we're on and actually find, if you don't know what Patrick Bolster looks like, he's a man of shadow, actually, as I look at him. But anyway, you can get an approximation of what Patrick looks like. And he's waving to you. So do have a look if you don't know the other members of the finance team. But a huge thanks to all you do to keep us so well informed. Okay, I'm now going to come to another extraordinary team. And before I invite a video walkthrough of the crypt as it was on Thursday last week, I just want to praise the Renew team. I struggle really to find words extraordinary enough to describe. I sit with this group of people most Wednesday mornings, 7:45 a.m., chaired by Mike Innes, who will be known to many, many members of the church family. And in alphabetical order only, those who have been and are members of the Renew team, Hannah Gibney, Simon Highgate, Dave Newton, Mark Parsons, Graham Stewart, Paddy Sykes, Jan Tyrrell, who's no longer a member of the Renew team, but gave a huge amount, and Sam Wright. And they just bring an extraordinary level of professionalism to what we do as a Renew team. If you speak to members of the PCC, you'll find out that the PCC has complete confidence in this team. And they are giving hours of their time to make the phase two of the Renew project into a reality, which it will be come about May next year. So what we're going to do is to just show a walkthrough that Simon Highgate, one of the team, made last Thursday. And then I'm going to invite Mike Innes, chair of the Renew team, to just give us a 5 minute or so update on where we stand, both in terms of how the project's going and in terms of our fundraising. So firstly, the video, and then Mike will be the next voice you hear.
Okay, hi there. Welcome to take two of the Renew update from Christchurch Clifton. It's a progress report on the breaking out and the attempt at levelling off the floor area. So we're going to go inside the church in a second.
We're just going to do a quick walkthrough, give you an exciting update on progress here. People with buggies and those who find it hard to walk down, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we will have no ramp here. You'll see at the moment, there is a little bit of a ramp, which is a bit of a problem. And you'll note here, there we go, there's a golf ball going down the ramp, so you can see, and we'll do an update when there's all of the levelling has been done, and hopefully there'll be no roll. Quick update on progress. We'll walk through there very shortly. We're going to get a bit of a move on, walk through the preschool area. So you preschool parents and carers, this is going to look superb when your little ones are back in this area. It's all very exciting for them. We're now going through. Hopefully we'll be able to address some of the issues going up to the play area. Apologies for the lack of light. So you'll note in the floor there, we're doing some drainage works, some alterations. We found a lovely vaulted ceiling and some pockets up there. We're now going through into the main crypt area, looking back up the ramp, hopefully for the last time, into the main crypt area. So this is some of the concrete that we've taken out to date. It's quite a lengthy process. For those of you excited, we've got some in situ concrete, the ceiling, some lovely brick arches that we're going to try to keep exposed if we can. This is where we're digging out. We've done some pretty extensive propping just to make sure the church doesn't fall down. That'd be a bit disappointing, I'll be honest. And then round through here is where we've done our first load of breaking out and levelling. See all that concrete new, where a step used to be. I'll just give you a quick view of the toilets as well. Where the toilets were, can you remember there was a bit of a ramp, and actually now there's no step. So that's really good news. So that's the view at the moment on progress, all very exciting. Contractor's doing a great job, and we'll give you an update very soon.
Thank you very much, Simon. That was wonderful, wasn't it? I think anybody who's really excited by the sight of in situ concrete probably needs to get out a little more. But it was good to see that they'd already installed the new conveyor belt that's going to deliver the meals from the kitchen to the new lift. I enjoyed seeing that very much indeed. Mike Innes, you're waiting to come in. And thank you so much, Mike, as chair of the Renew team. You give so much energy and verve and fun and enthusiasm to this. And it's a pleasure to serve with you. What do you want to say to the church family this evening?
Well, first of all, can you all hear me? I pressed the unmute. That's work. That's great. I was able to tilt my screen so I could eat my dinner as everybody else spoke, so that I can get a full frontal now. I have to echo what Paul has said about the team. Really inspiring and really fantastic. We tend to meet at 7:45 in the morning. I think we can change that shortly, but we seem to come around wide-eyed and bushy-tailed to get on with the job in hand. I really am just going to give you the bullet points as we know them. The budget for the job is £1.57 million, that's a big number, for which we've got around about £1.3 million with a £270,000 shortfall in round numbers. We've had a huge disappointment. We made an application for a significant grant. Some lot of good work went into that by Simon, Mark, to actually put a very good application in for that grant. But unfortunately, we got the movie prize and have not been awarded any funds. I think that we should bear in mind when we worry about money that it is exceptional times that we find ourselves in. And if you asked anybody, would we start on this journey to fundraise for this project? Would we start now? Well, probably the answer would be no. But the very good point that we have is that we won't run out of funds until May of next year. The contractor, we've negotiated a deal that he would delay some of his application for payment until May. And so sitting here now, we've got the best part of 7 months to get this organized. I'm sure it's on everybody's mind how we're going to raise these funds, but we will spend our energies over the immediate life of the project, making application for grants. We've had other encouraging noises that we will be able to achieve this. I'm always encouraged that Christchurch sits in the middle of one of the finest suburbs of Bristol. And there's a lot of people who don't come to our church who should try and understand what this church does for the community, not just of Clifton, but the wider community of Bristol. And I think they should be encouraged to actually make a contribution for this fantastic project. And I'm sure they will be encouraged to, and hopefully meet the shortfall that we find ourselves in. By the way, Paul asked me to remind you, if anybody hasn't filled in their forms to make an application donation, please do so now. It is a major project. It's a significant project. And it will set down life in our church at this phase for a long time to come. So we should be absolutely encouraged that we are doing something that will do God's work and we feel led in this project. So I think that's all I need to say, unless anybody's got anything that I've missed.
Thank you, Mike, very much indeed. That was very concise, as always. We have had one question sent in, which I'm going to invite Chris Brown to read, simply so that you're not listening totally to my voice. And then I think I'll give Mike first shot at the answer. I don't know whether you've seen this question already, Mike, you may not have done, but Chris Brown will read it out. And I'm happy to add words if you'd like me to do so.
Yeah, here it is, question. There's currently a shortfall in excess of 200,000 in funds to pay for the crypt refurbishment as planned. Several grant applications have and are being made to plug this shortfall, and hopefully they will be successful in doing so. However, if there are insufficient funds to pay the contractors' invoices as and when they fall due towards the latter stages of the works, where will the cash come from other than from the personal pockets of PCC members?
Well, a fairly good but obvious question. as I've said, we have got until May to try and raise these funds. If we were unsuccessful, and we really hope that we're not, and we pray that, we would look to try and encourage people to make interest-free loans to underpin this for a limited period. If then all else failed, David has been involved in these discussions, that we then would have to go to commercial lender to actually underpin this. And this would probably make an effect over a reasonable period to repay that, something like, is David, is that right, £12,000 adverse to our running budget. But it's something we could achieve. We could lend that money, and we would actually borrow that money, rather. We could do that, but we don't want to do that. It would absolutely not cripple us at all, but it would actually inhibit what we're trying to achieve. And so that's how it would be dealt with.
Thank you, Mike, very much indeed. It's probably also worth pointing out that Christchurch Clifton is an equal pockets opportunity employer. So all pockets are welcome at the table, not simply those of the PCC. But I take Chris's point. I think it's a matter for prayer. I know that those who are looking at this are confident, certainly, that we will significantly reduce the deficit as it stands at the moment. We have people working on some other grant applications about which we have reason to feel confident. And as Mike says, there is a further appeal being planned out in the wider community. And we'll have more details of that once they're agreed by the PCC quite shortly. Thank you. Let's move to general questions. Just before we do that, and it relates to Renew, I just want to pay tribute to our preschool team and their trustees. Many of you will know that Simon's video walkthrough pointed out where preschool meets. It's been going for 45 years this year, and Jane and her team have worked with us and with their trustees to help in the relocation. And if you're not aware, if you've not been past Christchurch recently, preschool is currently meeting in porter cabins that are positioned on the south side of Christchurch, on Christchurch Road. So I just want, Tavi, if you could record our thanks as a meeting to the staff and the trustees of preschool for the way that they have adapted and continue to adapt. So I'm going to hand back to Chris and to Mark if there are any other questions that have been previously submitted of which I'm not aware, or if anybody has a question that they would like to address to me, then this is an opportunity to do so. I'll just scan around, see who's typing feverishly at their keyboards.
There are no questions at this stage, but maybe we just give a couple of moments for people to type if they want to do that.
Yeah. Perhaps if you are about to type a question, you might just want to raise your blue hand in the participants bar so that Chris and Mark will see that and know that there's a question coming.
I'm actually just going to clear the participants bar because there are some old ones still there. So if you had raised your hand to ask a question, would you mind just doing it again for me?
I can't see any blue hands, Mark. Can you or Chris?
No, so nothing.
Okay, well, in that case, we will move on. And certainly the oddest context in which I've ever given an address at an annual meeting. But in the way that we're accustomed to doing as preachers, just seeking God, spending time and asking the question, you know, what to speak about this evening. And the sense I've had is to speak about faithfulness. Faithfulness from God to us, faithfulness from us to God. I read that verse from Psalm 26 earlier. I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. It won't surprise you, I'm sure, to learn that the word faithful or faithfulness in the whole of Scripture is used mostly in the Psalms. That's where it occurs more than in any other place. And when we think of the roller coaster of David's life, we can maybe understand why for him God's faithfulness was so significant. For David, God's faithfulness was not an academic or a merely theological proposition. It was a lived experience and reality. And one of the beauties of the Psalms is that we are enabled to witness a follower of God being taken to places where his ability to trust in God's faithfulness was stretched almost to breaking point. We have those places in the Psalms where David records himself as crying out in despair, really in despair of his life at times, certainly in despair of his throne, in despair of God's promises, in despair of God's presence. And yet, he always comes back to God's faithfulness. I often like to meditate when I read the Psalms, and you get those hinge moments on the word will. Yet I will praise you. Yet I will bring to mind your faithfulness. Yet I will remember. And although we read those Psalms, and it may be in verse 6 or verse 8 that the word will, yet I will appear, I sometimes wonder how long it took to complete the Psalm. I wonder whether David poured out his feelings in the first 5 or 6 verses. And who knows, maybe there's a period of days before David picks up his pen again and says, yet I will, because he's wrestled through in prayer. And it seems to me that what the what David and the other biblical writers who use the word faithful or faithfulness of God, they're doing at least two things. Firstly, I want to say that the word faithfulness acts as both a safety net and a springboard. A safety net, because it actually, the belief that the ultimate reality of God is that he is faithful, acts as a safety net against total despair. However far they fall, and David uses the language of falling quite a lot, there's always that safety net that stops him hitting rock bottom. And so the faithfulness of God and the proclamation of that reality by the believer, whether in the Old Testament or the New, is its use in recalibrating reality for us. I'm sure we're all aware, and this year has been just such an awful year for so many people. Some people have lost literally everything, including their lives, including a member of our own church family I'll come to in a short while. Many people have lost livelihoods. Many people have lost hope. And the faithfulness of God, and as we proclaim it as an act of discipleship, even in the face of apparent contradictory evidence, it helps us recalibrate our reality. It helps us to recenter. It aligns our future with our past. So often in the Old Testament, it's because God has been faithful, and not just in an abstract theological sense, but because that is a lived experience of God's people, that because of that past experience of God's faithfulness, it's as though there is a solid rod of confidence stretching into an unknown future. One of the ways of reading the Old Testament is a way in which the Old Testament people of God anchored their reality at certain points, the Red Sea being one of the most notable. But in the mighty works of God, the stretching forth of God's mighty right hand, it's as though that builds them a confidence into an unknown future. Because God has proved himself faithful in the past, we will go forward into the future with confidence. As Christians, we believe that God's faithfulness is an ultimate reality. But it's also a springboard, as it was for the Old Testament people, because of what we understand and believe and have experienced in God's faithfulness. That leads us into response, because God is faithful, we can be faithful. It often occurs to me that God's faithfulness, you could argue, doesn't make a great deal of sense. because his faithfulness is towards people like you and me who don't always ring true. I know what it is to let God down. And so the fact that God is continually faithful. In fact, Paul writing to Timothy actually says that even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. In other words, the reason that faithfulness is an anchor point of God's reality is because it is built into who he is. And for God to cease to be faithful to you and to me would actually be for God to deny himself. And so part of my prayer as a Christian, as a follower of God, is that something of faithfulness will become such an integral part by the working of God's Spirit into who I am, that I will move forward with faithfulness. I don't think I've really made any secret at any point that I've not enjoyed the last 7 months at all. I found it deeply challenging. Even on Sunday, discovering that a couple in the church are expecting a second child in just a short period of time. And I had no idea about that. This sort of thing has affected me really quite deeply, that sense of being isolated from you and from other members of the church family, being denied those soft conversations at the beginning and end of public gatherings, at the beginning and end of prayer meetings, those moments where, and you've probably nearly all of you done it over the course of the last 10 years, said, could I have a word? And we've just gone aside, maybe sat in a side pew or gone and stood in a quiet place. And you've talked to me about stuff that's going on in your life. And it actually affects me hugely deeply, not having that as easily. But actually, my cry to the Lord is that my character, by the work of God's Spirit, will day by day, week by week, month by month, more closely resemble God's character in terms of faithfulness. And in as much as I am hugely grateful to God for his faithfulness to us as a church, you know, Dave's put our financial situation in very clear terms, and there is a bit of a hill to climb there. There's a hill to climb with Renew, and yet we are so blessed compared with so many. I'm just aware of the many people, and there's always a risk in beginning talking about it, but just an hour before this meeting began, somebody in the church family emailed, and among the things they wrote was this little phrase. In fact, I'll put it into the side chat bar, just so that you can see it as it actually came in. Let me do that, if I can do that to everyone. Doesn't Christchurch have some great talent? ! And I just want to affirm, you know, this is a remarkable church, not because it's a major church in terms of its building size and architecture. It's not an amazing church because of its history. It's an amazing church because of you and because of all the other members of the church family. And Jackie and I know Jackie would join me. She's watching this on another screen, but she would join me in just saying, we feel so privileged to be able to say thank you and to be able to partner and work with you all and others who aren't on the screens tonight. We've already mentioned our wardens and PCC members. And I do have to say this year, not because they are intrinsically more special than anybody else, but just because I work with them so closely, your team, your staff team, some of whom are paid, some of whom are not, some of whom are full-time, some of whom are not, but your team at Christchurch Clifton have worked harder over the last 7 months than I have ever known. All of us, and I know many of you are, of course, in your own workplaces, but our clergy team, in admin with Mark, Nick, Olivia, Helen, Lizette, and I can honestly say without them and an increasing body of voluntary members around them, our church would not be reopened. Some of you will have an insight from your own context in what is involved in making a building COVID secure. To do that over and over for different groups is an extraordinary undertaking. And I really want to pay tribute to that office admin support team. I want to note many of you will have picked up either because you read the Friday email or because you heard this spoken in church or on the live stream. But there may be one or two who haven't yet heard the news that very sadly, we've had to come to the conclusion that it's not going to be possible to reopen the Spire coffee shop anytime soon. And as a consequence, when the period of furlough support ends, Mike, our coffee shop manager, and Cameron, our deputy manager, are being made redundant. I want to say that Mike and Cameron have been fully involved in this process. And again, just to pay tribute, not just to Mark Parsons and Janet Lee, who've been involved in this, but the personnel team headed up by Mark Ellis. You know, we're blessed to have top-level professional HR support available. And I do encourage you to pray for Mike and Cameron, for Leslie, for Christina, and their families in this difficult period. Cameron has been offered a new role, that of verger, which will become increasingly significant as we seek to open our building more and more. But it's when you have a situation like that that you realize the personnel team is there waiting to help. Other members of our team have done extraordinary work, particularly among demographics who have been affected more than many perhaps by the pandemic. Rian, alongside Janet, has just done the most extraordinary work in staying connected with the elderly. We couldn't do our cream tea this August bank holiday that we're used to. So Caroline Buckland had the inspirational idea of preparing cream teas individually and delivering them to 70 plus elderly members of the church family and others. There are teams who regularly ring and stay in contact with those elderly people. Ruthie has found a way. It's been an extraordinary achievement to rebegin our children's groups on a Sunday morning using Christchurch Primary. They're alternating the groups. One week it's this age block, another week it's a different age block. Elliot and Sophie continued connecting with our youth, who obviously probably slightly more tech savvy than the rest of us, and they've now begun meeting in person again. Julia and Sophia and an extraordinary team have continued to enable us to worship God together in sung praise. My own Jackie continuing the ministry of welcome. And as you know, Jackie is involved in so much more. And you know, I notice as I go to Christchurch and as I walk past it, there are still people who are going there and cutting the grass, even during lockdown, even during a pandemic. Thank you to all of you. There are so many others who've had to reimagine key areas of ministry. And if I may, forgive me, but I just would like to mention Emily Chanot, who for the last couple of years has been heading up the extraordinary Christmas experience and Easter experience. Clearly, that's just not possible this year. But Emily and her team are doing something called Christmas in a Box, where rather than inviting children to come to Christchurch for Christmas experience, they're taking Christmas to schools. Every year we mark the faithfulness of members of the church family who have died in the year. And it's become a tradition, which I think is a really good tradition, just of reading out those names and the months in which they died. Some of you, perhaps many of you, won't even recognize the names. You may not be able to put a face to the names. If you do, you may remember them as very elderly. Most of them, not all of them, but most of them were elderly. But actually, each one has a story. Each one has been a member of this church for many, many years. Each one of them has served in a whole range of areas, some of which you will be serving in now, And in a very real sense, you will be the inheritors of their ministry and their passion and their commitment and their service. And we give thanks that at the moment of their deaths, they were met by Jesus and taken home. So let us just pause as we remember these names. In January, Idris Williams. In April, Glennis Mills, David Warlow, Eddie Barget, Anthony Melksham, Anne Tomlin, Terry Wilmot. In September, John Collins. And in this month, October, Pat Briggs, whose funeral was earlier today. Let's just be still together once again and give thanks to God for their faithfulness, that they now join that great cloud of witnesses which surrounds us as a reminder of human faithfulness in response to the faithfulness of God. Father God, we give you our grateful thanks for the faithful dead, for those who, having slipped the moorings of this life and this world, now make your heavenly home their home. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you promised to prepare a place for each of us as we put our faith in you. And we pray that the remembrance of those who have lived out their lives in faith and are now seen no more, may encourage and inspire us on our own journeys of faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to draw things to a close this evening with two final thoughts, really. My final words of thanks are to the entire church family. You know, for me, although I've really struggled over the last few months with the sense of isolation from you, actually, there has been such an extraordinary indication of the amazing culture that lies right at the heart of Christchurch. And that's come in the just countless expressions of appreciation, encouragement, and support that have just flown in. You know, when we started, when lockdown happened, Chris Whitwell gave the final, as it were, talk in the building before we could not go in anymore. And what a great job Chris did on that time, as he always does when he preaches, in preparing us for what was to come. But the very next week, we were live streaming. And we took a decision early on that come what may, we would stay live. That we would pre-record as little as possible unless it became absolutely necessary. And God has been faithful in enabling us to do that. And of course, from day one, we reduced four gatherings in a week where we had given expression to different styles of worship and acknowledgement that different people relate to God in different ways. And we had reduced that down to one. It was all we could manage. And right from the beginning, members of all four of the previously existing expressions of church family were part of the live stream. Right from the get-go, people who maybe wouldn't have come to that sort of expression here at Christchurch were posting messages of encouragement and appreciation. And we've said this a few times as a team over recent weeks, that we have just been so conscious of your grace towards us, And that's just such a wonderful thing, because as God extends his grace to us, it's an amazing thing to extend grace to one another. So for the future, as we look to the past, even the past 7 months, challenging, awful, dispiriting, many turns they've been, God has been faithful. And the truth is that his faithfulness is a constant into the future. And so I'm simply going to close by inviting us just to spend time with God on the back of this evening and over the coming days, asking him to show us what faithfulness will look like into the future. I commented earlier that you could make an argument to say that God's faithfulness doesn't make sense. And because faithfulness means putting your trust beyond yourself and in another and in other things, you could argue that human faithfulness beyond ourselves doesn't make sense. But in the same way that God cannot be other than faithful because it's his nature and who he is. So my prayer is not just for myself, but for each one of us, that God's Spirit will work in us, that we will find more and more that actually faithfulness is just who we are, that faithfulness comes to characterize the way that we live in the way that it characterizes him. And so it seems to me that although we are called to carry one another, to bear one another's burdens, to draw alongside one another when life is tough and when we're struggling, actually, as the Church of God, it seems to me that the Church of God, biblically, can only really be optimistic because it follows and serves a God who cannot be other than faithful. And although we have not talked, and actually deliberately not talked much since March about church finances, what would faithfulness look like in a church family of our size in actually seeing that by year's end, that deficit gap is closed? If every person who counts themselves a member of Christ Church, Clifton, were simply to make a one-off gift of £50, we'd actually close the deficit. And then we could start planning in the new year for new things. So I'm not going to say much more than that, but simply to say that I believe that as a church, whatever our individual futures may look like at this moment in time, we can only be optimistic because the God we serve and follow, his ultimate reality is faithfulness. And then it's really up to each one of us to speak with God by his Spirit and to invite the Holy Spirit to show us more and more what our response in faithfulness will be like. So let me just pray for us as we draw this evening's meeting to a close. I'm going to leave just a time of stillness again and invite you just to speak to the Holy Spirit, to invite him to speak to you, not just in this moment, but in the time that lies ahead. I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. Father, on behalf of the people of this amazing church, I ask that we might go into the future mindful of your unfailing love literally with minds full of your unfailing love. May we go into the future living in reliance on your faithfulness. So, Father, I thank you for your faithfulness to me, to us, to your church here. And I thank you that in the words of this evening's email, Christchurch has some great talent. Thank you, Lord, for everything, for all your blessings. And so I pray that for us as individuals, in heart and mind, in the homes where we live, in the lives of those we love and for whom we pray, we might experience the blessing of your presence, your peace, and your power by the work of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, we've got some lovely things going up in the sidebar. Technically, the meeting is on till 9, so if you want to post a few encouraging messages, Paddy is encouraging us to give thanks to Oni, who has led the Renew prayer team. And actually, whilst people are still listening, we just have a sense, and I think I've said this in a couple of places, that we already know there's one or two people, a bit like Oni, who God is just giving a passion to pray about certain things. And we have our monthly prayer meeting. That's great. But actually, we've discovered that because of Zoom, it's possible to have pop-up prayer, once a month prayer, weekly prayer, about a whole range of things. And I just encourage you, church family, if you sense that God is just giving you a passion to pray, you don't have to wait for a member of clergy or a member of team to begin talking about it. Come to us. If your passion is for the worldwide church, we'd love to enable you to facilitate that. We've got somebody we're in conversation with about setting up prayer times for justice issues and so on. So just as Oni did with praying for Renew, let other people feel God's inspiration and bring forward. Okay. Lovely to see your thank yous. Even got a shout out for Mike Innes's hair. There you go, Mike. Okay. Thank you so much, everybody, for being part of this evening's meeting. Do stay if you want to continue posting, but do feel free to leave and move into whatever else your evening holds for you. But don't feel you've got to rush away. We'll keep the Zoom open for a little while longer.